Okay. Busy morning this morning. Never too busy to hear from heaven. And I just so privileged to give, you know, I looking at this chapter one and looking it over again, and you'll find out why I was so thrilled of what's in chapter one of 1 Thessalonians. To the church is the first, in the first verse it says, to the church. Now, I grew up in the Eastern Orthodox Church. And you know, it's Greek, it's Russian, it's Armenian, it's Syrian, and it's still the same church, but different races and nationalities are represented. Growing up in that church, I had to recall my memories about going there. First of all, walking into the church, my parents paid some money, and they gave me a candle, and they said, light it and stick it in the sand. What young boy doesn't want to mess with fire? But you know what? I went through the exercise of lighting a candle, putting it in the sand, never realizing that someday in my life, Jesus would call me to be light. Missed it. Then we entered into the service. And I'd look around this beautiful building, and I see all these paintings all over the place. But they're all written in Greek. I said, who's that bearded dude over there? His name is written in Greek. So I was left with not knowing. Then as walking in there, I would see all these candles blazing away everywhere. And I'd be as a young boy, what's all that about? What's all that about? And then the priest would come out all in this glorious gown. And being back then, now the Greek Orthodox Church has switched to English. But back when I was a child, it was all Greek. So I didn't understand anything that was being said. But at one time in a service, he'd hold up this big book that looked like gold covering on it and hold it up. And I knew it was the Bible, and then he'd read in Greek, and I didn't really understand anything. During the service, the particular church where my parents would take me, oh yeah, and then the other thing I noticed was the smell of incense all over the building, which even caused me, before I became a Christian, to try to find some of that, because I liked the smell, and burn it in my house for no reason at all, just to smell it. And then, key, sitting there with my mother, and my mother had this thing she would do to her boys, grab and twist. In this particular church, at all these paintings, and above it all was a big eye. One. Wasn't a cyclops. It was one eye. And when I get out of order, my mother would point to that and say, God's watching you. You better not misstep, or he will punish you. My experience to the church growing up, and I think it's part of just walking away from God and doing my own life and sinful life and saying, well, God hasn't punished me yet, so I'll just go on living the way I want to live. Key, what walking out of that church, and I'm sure the leadership all meant well, But I walked out of that church unloved. Nowhere in that experience did I experience love. The law is cruel. Now, let's go to this church, to the church of Thessalonica. In God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, two key persons. A guy, I read a little article one time that says, what's your first thought when you think of Jesus? And he went on to say, you know what? Savior, Lord, miracle worker, all that. And yet Jesus wanted our thought, seeing him, is think of Father. He brought us into a loving relationship with Father. To the church in Thessalonica, to God and Father of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things, grace and peace to you. Great. Paul put it in really simple terms, because the following verses describe people that were affected by grace and lived in peace. And it's crucial for all of us to ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to the fullness of the grace of God. And his love for us, his unearned, unmerited favor over our lives. Grace will feed peace that passes all understanding. The world dishes a lot out to rob us of peace. But when we have this love connection with God that's not angry with us, but he loves us. He loves us deeply that he sent his own son to meet all the requirement of the law and then shed his blood for us that we might have life and life more abundantly. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. This is leadership praying for the people in this church. And first of all, it's Paul saying, I thank my God in heaven for all of you. There must be something about those people that Paul was driven to the throne of grace and thanking God for all of them. You know what, and as a pastor, I thank God for all of you, because where do we see, where do we look at the characteristics of a man that says, I thank God for all of you, and I'm continually praying for you? What was driving him to do that? What kind of people were these people in Thessalonica, Greece? Who were they? Paul describes the people that he enjoyed praying for and going to God's throne of grace and continually praying and also thanking God for their lives, for who they were. Who were they? Remember before God the Father, your work produced by faith. That's one characteristic of why he loved those people from that church. He said, you are doing the work of God, you are doing the work of God by faith in God. And first characteristics that these men and women from this church were full of faith to take God's direction and do whatever he says. The work of God by faith. God never expects us to go out on a limb without completely trusting him. But it almost rhymes. I don't know, I'm a potent, don't know it. But it's a faith. First characteristic of that church in Thessalonica, there were men and women of first faith that didn't even give a thought about chiming in to the work of the kingdom. That's who, part. Let's see. What else? What about your labor prompted by love? Your labor prompted by love. And I see, oh man, I see new guys. I hear stories how you're ministering to one another and everything else. And you know what? You guys are doing this stuff without any thought of that you have to do it. You know, have to do something, it has its fruit, but doing it out of love produces amazing things. And I see this in this body. You're a body of believers that your labor is prompted not by trying to get brownie points, not by trying to do the right thing, but just because you are loved and you're loving others. I see that in you. I see that in this church. It's operating in a church. Your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I see you, some of you going through difficult times and come out shining because your endurance is inspired. What is a power beyond your about your endurance to survive struggle? It's inspired by hope. Hope, hey, the definition of hope, a positive expectation of good. That when you're meeting the greatest trials in your life, you're meeting them head on and you have endurance to stay in there because your hope is a positive expectation of good from your Heavenly Father. What a description of a church in Thessalonica. And what a revelation to your pastor of the gathering place. May these qualities, may these things written here become abundantly apparent in your lives. It's already happening. I'm hearing all these stories, and I'm always amazed, and it's always a beautiful thing to see how you all minister to each other. But I'm praying for you, as Paul was saying, I never forget to pray for you, that these things will be present and increase. And increase. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that we are chosen God, that he has chosen you. And you know, I'm not going to go into all these theological things about that. To me, I read all these stories, you know, about this idea of being chosen. I break it down to myself. I'm just glad he chose me. I came to a place in my life where I said, yes to Jesus, come into my life. And I want you to have your way in your life. I want life transformation happening continually in my life. I never want to be satisfied where I am. I want to see more of you every day. Every day. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. All right? The gospel is powerful. There is no self-help available in human terms that can transfer a life like the love of God coming into somebody's life. If you had a difficult time, those who have sinned much or loved much. That love never stops for those who belong to Him. And it's not simply words, but also power. You know how we have lived among your for your sake. Key, it's important how we do our life. It's really sad, not here, but if our life doesn't reflect the salvation given us. And we have to know the gravity of that, because they're living for God for the sake of the people, because there's nothing that will turn people off to Jesus than people not fully living for Jesus. And remind ourselves that He's the power of change. He's the power of change. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. You became imitators of us. Paul really took it seriously how he was representing Jesus. And I often thought, studying this for years, I always thought, man, Paul sometimes would refer to this in the other scriptures, just look at me and you'll find Jesus. Be imitators of us. And I said, yikes, is that hard? Can I really do that? The answer is, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And evidently, what was going on in Thessalonica was severe suffering. But the product of severe suffering was joy. We don't always look at it that way. Ooh, woe is me, woe, what's happening? What's happening? When Jerry called me about praying for Iran, I said, funny you should be bringing this up. For months now, I've had a concern for Iran. My concern was, it's a Islamic atmosphere with 1 million Christians living there. Maybe that would describe them. Stress and suffering. But in God, joy enters in. Not hiding, but just freely sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fearlessly. Fearlessly. Be imitators of us and of the Lord. I'm glad it's just not Paul. He includes the Lord in it, right? And how do you and I become a really good imitator for people to imitate? Keep our focus on Jesus. And you, I don't know about you, I struggle with that sometimes because I'll go to work and things will happen and my mind gets all occupied of what's happening to me and all the decisions I have to make and I get, when I start getting overwhelmed with these kind of things, here's what I do. I say to myself, stop. Stop. And then I go to God's throne of grace and say, God, I thank you. I'm a wonderfully, beautifully loved son of yours. It happened this week. It was Ellie, who works for me, and I turned over the purchasing to her. And she said, I search everywhere. I can't find this material. We're going to shut the customer down. We can't. And it was kind of a unique type of material. And nobody has it. Nobody has it. So Thursday when I went to work, I sat down. And the beautiful Holy Spirit says, Byron, get on the phone and help Ellie. And I'll lead you to that material. She exhausted herself trying to find it. One phone call to where God led me, had the material, and they were receiving it next week. And Ellie is sitting there, you know, and I'm teaching Ellie how to go to the Lord with things, everything, to the God. Do you really believe to the God that nothing is impossible? That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that loves us. And he desires to hear from us. Jesus, when he said it's finished, he gave his life. And Jesus has never stopped giving. We can never stop asking. Ask and you will receive. And so, you became a model to all of the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Here he's foundationally setting up, who are these people? Who are they? He's leading them to complete dependence and focus on Jesus Christ and their Heavenly Father that loves them. What back at the beginning? Grace led to peace. And it says, so he's saying, you know, I'm trying to be an imitator to you. Now what I'm discovering that you're a model to the whole region. Do you ever think about little TGP could be a model to this whole region? And where do we get some amazing, what's the word? Get on the internet or how these places and get it all out there that way. I'll tell you, it really starts. Where people can discover this whole region, where they can discover the model. Hey, you're a model. You're a precious pot, so beautifully created and by the master's hand and made so beautiful and put on a shelf to be displayed to everybody. How did it hit the whole region? How, you guys, you're already a model to me, but I want to encourage you, be a model to the world. Be the one, and when somebody mistreats you at a store or talks bad to you on the phone, and that, hold your breath, stop, pause, and be a model for Jesus. Be a model for him. I can testify this myself. I wasn't going to say this. But you know what? Growing up, you better not just mess with Byron, because he was quick to punch. I kicked holes in the wall. I broke glass windows. I was so quick to go out of control and get so angry. Jesus changed it all. Jesus transformed that part of my life that disappeared and is gone. You're a model. You're a model. And God wants to display all of you to this dying world. Where do the opportunities come? Not from people that are nice to you, but from people that are not so nice. That's where the model needs to be displayed. Then, if we do it right, and we model Jesus Christ, we model what's happening in our life, and we carry not just words, but power, we will be a people. You know, I love missionaries, I love evangelists, and this all has to happen. It's in the Bible. It all has to happen. But to me, I ask God to make me into the person that somebody will come to me and ask me for the hope that's in me. That's in the Bible too. Be ready to give an account to those who ask you what's going on in there. And key is your response to that is gentleness and kindness. And with sweet love of Jesus, share with that person what's happened in here. It's not the nice people who need to be a model. It's those who are not so nice. And God will, you ask him, he'll teach you how to do that. He destroyed anger out of me. He'll take things away. Just give it to him. Give it to him and be a model for Jesus. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has been known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. I'm looking forward to the day. You know, I hear how you are all ministering to each other, and it brings just great joy in my life. You're being a model to this body, to each other, in Jesus' name. I'm going to be praying for you about that your faith in God will become known, not just amongst ourselves, but out there. Out there. They're going to see a people that when difficult times, they're not collapsing under the pressure. Other thing, you know what? You have people that you're meeting, you're working with, your people you might be familiar at the grocery store or whatever else, they're looking. And I pray you will be a model. You will be a model. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only to your faith in God has become known everywhere. Father, in Jesus' name, will the faith here for the people in this church be known everywhere. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. And they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We're a people that turn away from the deceitfulness of the world, and all its idols, and are continually turning to God. Continually turning to God. Because I love the way Paul said, to serving the living and true God. There is only one God, and he's the one that Jesus introduced us to and then gave us the Holy Spirit, which earlier we talked about, takes our words and brings them to the place of power. And sometimes it's not about being worried. I had somebody call me this week that was really going through a stressful time and a very difficult time in their life. And I was listening, and they were telling me all what was going on and the stress of what was going on and the stress that was going on. And as I was listening to them, then they had a lot of words to describe all this negatively going on in their life. And the whole time I was on the phone, I had my eyes closed listening. This after this. And all I saw as I had my eyes closed was a heart. So after that person, after a lengthy time listening to everything that's going wrong, I said to that person, see, you don't have, you know what? The writer of that one hymn, one little word will fail him. It doesn't take a sermon, it may only take a word. So I told this person on the phone, I said, while you were sharing all I saw was a heart. That's all I had to say. And that person started weeping and crying and said, you have no idea what you just told me. I really need to turn everything over to Jesus. He's been with me my whole life. And now I'm hearing, instead of all the negatives, all the amazing thing God has been to that person, just by saying, I saw a heart. I saw a heart. For you guys, God's heart is for you, not against you. He loves you passionately. You and I walk in the gift of righteousness. He's not surprised when we fail. He never stops loving us when we fail. So when I walk out of that Orthodox church and all I felt was I better not misstep. When you leave this church, I want you only to feel how much you're loved. And in conclusion, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. He's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You don't have to be some great sinner that came to repentance to know how much he loves us. But I want to let you know something. I want you to remind myself and all of us what happened when we gave our life to Jesus. We escaped the wrath of God. That's no small thing. No small thing if you really study it and really meditate on it. What it means to be thrown into a pit of fire. What Jesus tried to explain that in his ministry when he talked about Lazarus and the rich man who wanted to reject God, reject all those things and not receive what God has. And this man begged for a drop of water. Then he went on, beg, please go back and tell my family I don't want them here. The wrath of God is no small thing that you and I have been saved from. For now, in Christ, there is no condemnation. So, when this church was suffering severely, what brought joy? What brought joy under difficult, very difficult, impossible times? Knowing that they've been rescued from the wrath of God. God's not mad at you. He only loves you. That's chapter one. You know what? I like to go over these things and go to sleep on them. And I like naps. I love naps. And at first going through it, I said, man, Lord, open up my eyes to what you have here. It seems very elementary to me at the first reading. Then I came back to it. And the Holy Spirit opened up not only what described that church, but opened my eyes to the beautiful church that I'm pastor over and what amazing men and women you are and how you do things for each other selfless. You just do it because you've been loved by a God that loves you very much and you're just demonstrating that. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? I was blessed. You know, it's when I talk, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. And I see myself and my great need for this God that will deliver me and deliver you from all your troubles. So leave here. I'm trouble-free. Amen? Yeah, I love you, Mark. God bless you. God bless you. Worship team, come up. It's amazing.